The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health and Mental Health. And today we're going to be talking about a really interesting program. It is the Ulster County Brighter Futures Initiative Program. And on the website, it describes Brighter Futures as an initiative that's part of Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan's agenda to reshape the justice system in Ulster County. The program seeks to deliver targeted interventions to adolescents, their parents, caregivers, and members of their family to help break the cycle of generational poverty. And we have with us Alexandra Jolson, or Alex as she's known, Assistant Ulster County Youth Bureau Coordinator. Alex is new to Ulster County. She's worked with youth for over 15 years. Raised in the Bronx, but now resides in Ulster County with her two daughters. And she's really passionate about what she does, and I think you're going to really enjoy hearing her speak. So welcome, Alex. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. And I know that you have a guest with you, one of the youth that participate in the program. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, I have George here.
Hi, George. So, Alex, let's start first by... first of all, we know that this program, that the notion of addressing generational poverty is so critical, because we know that the effects of the trauma that's brought on by poverty and all the other consequences ripple throughout generations, right? If they're not stopped, right, or blocked. And we also know that income inequality is increasing, not decreasing, in our society, unfortunately, which I suspect is why this whole program came into being. But why don't you tell us what you know about how the program came into being and why it was put into place, and a little bit about it.
Yes. So I'm glad to be on the show. I'm glad to actually talk about Brighter Futures Initiative. And it is an initiative ran by Ulster County. It started out with Mike Hines, our previous county exec, and they worked together with the community foundations to basically work on areas that's going to improve graduation rate, that's going to improve jobs in the area so that people won't drop out, and be able to retain their jobs and be able to go on a road to help them be successful adults. And they found out by doing a survey on, if we put something into place to help with the barriers that help contribute to poverty, then maybe we can help save some, not all, but some of the kids that basically are on the road. Now, maybe the person might be born to someone as a teenage parent, or a parent that lost their job, or a parent that they don't have any parents. We can help save that individual from hitting the same cycle that their parents or their family members have been facing for many, many generations, and actually help them create a new pathway that's going to help them be successful.
Mm-hmm. And do youth get referred? I know part of it is restorative justice. So do they get referred by where they might have gotten into trouble with law enforcement, and they get referred to the program? Do they walk in? Do they get referred by other agencies, or all of the above and more?
All of the above.
All of the above.
Yes. So basically, if it first started out where our main connection was with probation, and the kids that were low offenders, or how you say, kids that their crimes wasn't as extensive, or their first time actually being in the juvenile system, they can actually be referred to the program as supportive services. so that one, they won't be a repeat offender, and two, they can possibly learn some skills that can keep them from basically help them to realize that the crime that they committed, there was other options or other ways to help them. Some people might steal because they're hungry, or this is a pattern that they're used to and this is all they've been exposed to and this is what they do. So basically this is something that they just kept doing. Now
I'm not a delinquent, by the way. I've never done anything wrong.
He's not a delinquent. No, he's not.
Okay, so, George.
Those are some of the services.
I might be a delinquent though.
But that was one way of a kid being referred. But there's other ways. So school, you know, can refer a student if they're having issues with sense of belongingness or issues with attendance in the school or just not keeping up with the workload in school. There are also self-referrals where kids just say, hey, I'm going through something in my life and I just need someone to help support me. So those are basically some of the ways. We also got the community-based referrals where a community organization can reach out to us and say, hey, we have a youth that's struggling or just is in need of having positive role models in their life.
Mm-hmm. And we find like in public health that, you know, years ago, public health would be about trying to change individual behaviors like, you know, getting preventative checkups or eating a healthier diet or getting more exercise or what have you. But we discovered in the whole field of public health discovered that you can't take an individual or a family out of the total context in which they live their lives and expect them to do better, that you really have to treat that individual and that family in a holistic manner, meaning looking into all of the challenges and the barriers that they face in their lives and really addressing all of them. So when a youth comes to the program, what happens next? Do you assign them to a specific care manager and or a mentor, or how does that work?
So basically the student or youth is assigned to the program, and basically they meet with me individual. They do an intake session with me, and then we talk about some of the barriers that may cause the child to not want to thrive, or causing some of the barriers that's causing the kid not to get to the next point of being successful. So then once we identify those, then we go on to what can we do. Maybe we might a partner up with a community-based organization and creating that relationship between the child and the organization. So I call it hand-holding. I hold their hand and actually guide them to the process. A lot of people say, okay, we have this service and we have this youth, and we know that we have that service can apply to that youth, but the youth never comes to the service and the service never comes to the youth. So my job is to put them together in a way where the youth can feel comfortable at the same time the service is meeting. I mean, the community-based organization is, you know, providing the services that they need.
So it's not just like saying to the youth, here's the phone number and the business card, good luck. You really stick with that young person, right?
So we call that case management, where we identify those barriers. And then once those barriers are identified, then we hook them up with a mentor, a one-on-one person that's going to actually do the day-to-day work that's going to keep them, retain them in the program. Mm-hmm. It's easy to recruit them, and which is my job to like recruit them and give them all that great rapport. But it's keeping them stable in that. And that's what's one thing a lot of people are struggling with, is retention, being able to stay in it, knowing that it might take a year to actually see a result.
Yeah. You know, I work in the, I direct opioid prevention strategy for Ulster County. And, you know, we researched a lot of different models throughout the country, and we researched a lot of the barriers that exist right here in our own community. And it seems like one of the places where people fall is that, you know, you have a lot of different good organizations doing great work out there,
yes,
but it's in the connections. How, you know, what happens when a person, they do well in a program and they get out of a program and they're supposed to get to the next place, or the next step, and they never arrive there and nobody notices.
Exactly. I work with a lot of kids that's been in a juvenile system, and they could be in a residential facility for 6 months and be outstanding in that facility. They have all the supports. They have, you know, officers that's there. They have their counselors there. They have the aftercare person and things of that nature. And then once they get out of that residential setting, they no longer know how to function. And right. then they go back to that same behavior again.
Yeah, they don't have that support network and that, you know, and then all of the other myriad challenges that they have to deal with in their lives come like right up to the front of the pack. So in the notes, Alex, it talks about a partnership between government and business sector and nonprofits, philanthropy, community members. We know how government's involved because you're assistant director of the Ulster County Youth Bureau, which is an Ulster County agency. But tell me how you engage some of these other partners and what their role is and how that they work together. It's like, okay. Can you give us an example of that?
So we work really closely with Office of Employment and Training. These kids get like, I don't want to say first dibs, but they get like that. A lot of kids do struggle with obtaining a job. And being able to have that partnership with Office of Employment and Training, we get to connect them. They get that first connection with the employer, the person that works in that office, and they be able to assist them where other kids that get that service, they typically, oh, I have to get my birth certificate. I have to go through all this. Forget it. I don't want to do it no more. So then, you know, with the guidance of us working together, you know, we'd be able to help coach that kid. Okay, yes, the birth certificate might cost $10. Okay, we can go together and walk to City Hall and purchase it for you. And then Office Employment and Training was able to say, okay, here's the application, here's what we do, and, you know, dictate and detail what the kid's next step, rather than with the other component, the kid has to do it all by themselves. Mm-hmm. We also partner with Catholic Charities, People's Place, where, you know, the kids are accessing food if they need it, clothing if they need it. A lot of the kids that I work with just need interview clothes just to go for a job interview. And a job interview could be at Burger King or McDonald's. It's just having a decent shirt to wear. And I laugh all the time because George always, he gets on the phone and he wants to put on a button-up shirt. Even though he's not in my program at the Bright Futures, he writes the newsletter. But the fact of him always wanting to be professional when he gets on the a phone call, a Zoom call with me, shows that, you know, he's able to know what the next steps are. A lot of kids don't know what the next steps are and don't have that guidance to be able to be shown that. So having those community partners like some of the agencies that I name, and I'm not just these community members in the community are stepping up and saying, hey, I can take that kid to a hotel to be housed for Family Woodstock in a shelter for a couple of days and drive that kid to Saugerties because there was no hotels in Kingston at the moment in time, so the kids don't have to live on the streets.
Mm-hmm. And maybe help them with a job lead or a summer job. And by the way, we do want George looking good. So like having that help with that, that's really good. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we are talking about the Brighter Futures Initiative. It's a program of the Ulster County Youth Bureau. And we have Alex Gillison, who's the assistant coordinator of the Youth Bureau, and her guest, George Marejo. And I got your last name right, didn't I, George?
Yes,
so did. George, you publish an editor and writer for Quarantine, I believe the name of the newsletter is, for the program. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a lot. We write about stuff that's going on in the community, stuff that's happening around the country, and it's all related to quarantine.
So do you have like guest writers who write articles to talk about their own personal experience with some of the obstacles and opportunities that they face in their life? How does that work?
No, but we should.
And how did you find out about Brighter Futures Initiative? How did you discover the program? And how did you when you first got there, what was your impression of it?
My mother is the assistant director at YAP, Youth Advocate Program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she has, she's got the good hookups with the jobs. I guess she thought that I had too much free time on my hands, so she made me do this.
And now that she made you do it, are you happy that she made you do it?
Yeah, she knows that I have a passion for writing, and
that's really great. My daughter is taking a summer write. She's 14, and she's taking a summer writing program. She has that same passion for writing. I think that's really terrific. So, do you go out and recruit other kids your own age
nope.
And talk up the program to them?
No.
It's
kind of Alex's thing.
That's Alex's thing.
Well, he does have a co-writer with him.
A co-writer,
Jenna Codditon. She works very closely with him on writing the quarantine newsletter. I mean, uh-huh. It's a tribute.
Uh-huh. And Alex, do you have the youth? Are they mentors to other kids as well in the program? And do they do other functions within the program that help facilitate it?
I mean, George is not really a Bright Futures Initiative youth. Okay. He gets some of the the perks and the resources like the kids do, but because he's actually knows what he wants to do next with his life, all we're doing is providing him a resource so that he can be able to transition easily with experience. I feel like that George way of writing the newsletter is a way of mentoring to younger audience and also peers' age. Uh-huh. And that was the point of the newsletter. It was for youth, by youth.
Yeah, that's always so much better than adults writing for youth, right? So when George shows up at the New York Times one day and says, I want a job, he has his copies of Quarantine in one hand and his resume in the other, right, George? And he's like, hey, I'm your man.
Exactly. That's the whole point. And I can never foresee George being in poverty ever, because he at the age of 17, he has so much experience.
That's really terrific. So Alex, what areas do you serve? I see on the website, it talks about Ellenville and Kingston. Why those two particular areas in Ulster County?
So those two areas, Kingston and Ellenville, are both high dropout rates in high school in Ulster County, and also high poverty rates, which correlates to high health issues. More of the population in those two towns needing more assistance of the government to be able to get to the next point of day-to-day stuff like food, shelter, and things of that nature. So those two areas were targeted because those are the two highest. Also in crime rates with youth too, those are the two highest areas.
I know that those, you know, we do at the health department, one of my jobs is to keep track of population health. So we look at a whole series of health outcomes and behavioral health outcomes for the entire community. And, you know, unfortunately, low income areas and, you know, a lot of Kingston and Ellenville fit into those areas, have the highest rates of, you know, chronic diseases, highest rates of mental health issues, high crime rates, as you mentioned. You know, it seems that that poverty and all of those things go together, unfortunately. And you know, and there are also a lot of other factors, as we know, right? Systemic racism and a whole lot of other things that the country has been very slow to address. And hopefully that's going to change.
Exactly. And with programs like this, identifying some of the issues that are already existing, like mothers not being able to pay for childcare. I love this example. Mom wasn't able to go to work because she has four kids at home,
right?
And they all go to school at different times.
Right.
If you're in elementary and middle school, you go to school at 9 o'clock. If you have a high schooler, they go to school 7:30, 8 o'clock. So who's in the house with those three kids? Why my mom has to go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. She works a 7-3 shift.
Right.
So we have to think about those things. So helping her get a babysitter so that the high school kid doesn't miss his or her first two periods of classes to watch baby sister so mom can't go on CPS.
Right. It's the same thing like when mom needs to go to get a preventative health checkup, right? Or what have you.
Different.
Yeah, absolutely. And then transportation issues, right? And so all those things. So really, you know, you can't, a family cannot improve their lives without, unless they're, all of those barriers are addressed. And, you
exactly.
know, and your program and many others, like what we do in the health department, address a lot of those. So I know that, you know, you've been in existence for 2 years, if I'm correct. And what are the plans going forward? Not you, the program. You're older than two.
Well, yeah, I didn't know Kingston exists until like 4 years ago. So it was like, kind of like, ooh, yeah. And then, you know, to be able to have my skills swallowed up by the town and actually acknowledge who I am and how I can help youth is a wonderful thing. And I'm glad to, you know, embark on this position. And hopefully, you know, I want this program, I actually have a passion for this program to grow, and I'm already serving 21 kids
wow.
in Millenville and Kingston, and the hopes is to reach up to 40, you know, and this is just barrier breaking. So that's the hope, is to continue to prove to the funders that we are addressing these issues, and these kids are actually, you know, taking the resources, like George, even though he's not exactly in the program, but we can sit there and say George was a part of something that came out of the program. And then to see him go to college and to see him be a sports journalist for ESPN putting in existence New York Times, you know, for him to be one of those and be a high paying person and have children and be able to take care of his children and be able to see his grandchildren. And then they all learn those skills on maybe going to school, getting a trade.
You know?
I mean, I'm planning for
George, we have high hopes for you, man. You better not disappoint us. we're gonna be watching you.
In George's life, he knows that there will be an obstacle. There might be a tornado that takes his house for, you know, I'm not saying that, but, you know, or it might be, you know, an epidemic where, you know, you lose your job, and now a pandemic, you lose your job, and now you can't support your family, and how to bounce back, because you have these skills of communication, teamwork, and all these other skills that you might develop from the different programs that come out of Brighter Future. You are able to get experience and beat the odds. And
right.
That's
no
the whole point of this.
The goal.
Huh?
No obstacle is greater than the goal.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And knowing where and how to ask for help. Listen, my dad used to say to me, you know, in the times when I was down and I had those conversations with him, he would say, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Everybody needs to ask for help at some time in their life, maybe multiple times. So, you know, that's really, you know, really important. Good advice. So, Alex, so you're located in the probation department on Broadway in Kingston, is that right?
No, we moved, and now we are on 244 Fair Street in the county building.
Oh, you're right in the county office building. That's
yes.
great. And so how do people, if people are interested in either, do you welcome volunteers if people want more information or they want to participate or refer somebody? How do they go about doing that? How do they get more information about the program?
So feel free. I have a county phone. you know, a lot of people don't have that, but I actually have one. You could call me at 845-663-6457. Kids, adults, everybody calls me on that phone for resources, assistance, and anything when it comes to youth. To learn more about the program, you can also, you know, Google Bright Futures in Ulster County, and you can see some of the stuff that's offered. You can come visit me on the fourth floor at the, when everything opens up. Not now. I'm remotely working from home.
Me too. I haven't been to my office for so long. I went there once and it was like all the plants were dead. It was like going to Chernobyl, yes. You know. No, it was like everything frozen in time.
Exactly. I mean, I do stop by the office once in a while because I have to make copies. And I do have to see the kids. So I do go visit them and, you know, stop by their house and do some social distance walks and things of that nature, just to, you know, finish developing that rapport with them, because a lot of the kids I was able to recruit for the program was right at the beginning of that pandemic, so it was like, oh my god, I just
mentioned.
It's
just everything so stopped short.
So
give us that phone number again before we run out of time, just so
okay it's 845-663-6457 and my email address is AJUL@co.ulster.us.ny.us.
Right.
My Instagram is pointgod.george.
But that's all the time we have for today. So thank you so much, Alex, for all the great work that you and your team do. Thank you, George. It's really great to have you on. And good luck with all your future plans. I'm going to, you know, be like, you know, looking for your name on the ESPN or some publication in the future, and maybe even on the internet or TV or what have you. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.